Well, this evening, we had a good service this afternoon at Hillcrest in Ashland City, and enjoyed being, of course, being with those residents there, come down and have the worship with us. It's good to see you here this evening. We want to clarify that the Easter egg hunt will be April 20th. Easter's on 21st. We'll have the Easter egg hunt here at the building on that Saturday, the day before. And again, be bringing candy, give that to Mike. We'll be making preparations for that. So be making your plans for that. Also, the 26th is the Friday of our singing, our annual singing here at Pleasant View. So be making your plans as well for that Friday night. And we have invited, of course, sent out the invitations for that. Looking forward to having a good number with us for the singing here in a few weeks. So another thing to put on your calendars for this month. Of course, our gospel meeting will be this July with Mike McPherson. We know Mike. He's been here a couple of times to speak for us. And haven't talked much about his presentation. He'll be talking about things that different areas of life to maintain your faith in, and a few areas, or actually most of the areas, he has personal experience in. He has gone through a very extended, about a year and a half long, battle of depression. And he's talked very openly about it places. I've heard him do a presentation on it. It's just extremely interesting and inspiring in what had to be done and people around him to help him through that. And so maintain your faith when you have an illness, when you have physical problem, and how that affects your faith. I've been talking about caring for a spouse and having a good marriage. And his wife, as you know, passed away with ALS not long ago. And the struggles that he had with that, emotionally and otherwise. And so we'll talk about that. Maintain your faith in raising your children. Mike's been a high school teacher and a coach for all of his career. And so he's had a lot of interaction, experience with families and parents and children. And but Mike just does a wonderful job in presentation. He's funny and very engaging. And we look forward to that this summer in July, when he's here for that week. So a lot of things going on. Let's go to our Father before our lesson. Lord, we're thankful this evening that you have given us life and we're able to meet here again and end the day as we began the day in worship to you. We're thankful for the opportunity to sing these praises to you, to express our hearts to you in this way. Thankful for those who attended the service this afternoon in Hillcrest, and we pray your blessings on those residents there who were part of that service and all those there who are having failing health, and we pray that you bless those who are blessing them and that you give them the strength and courage to serve those residents in that way. Continue to be with Rick Reed and Lowell Gregory and so many others that we have mentioned lately who have been facing various physical illness and trials. We know that we're weak people, and we often miss the mark that you set for us, and we sin, and we pray that you forgive us. And give us courage to face the temptations of Satan and follow that way of escape that you provided for us. Continue to love us, keep us safe, give us mercy and grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I love all the famous quotes you see from presidents or famous people that you'll see online. You kind of question whether or not somebody said it or not, but I love quotes. You may enjoy those as well. You may have a calendar at your desk or something, has a memorable statement. Some of them just stand out. Some of them are really good. A lot of those I've used here. And I think they really do get to the heart of a matter, very profound. One of my favorites comes from Benjamin Franklin, as he was one who did a lot of those types of things, a lot of writing that was very, very profound and wise and so forth. And he said this, something I believe I've used in lessons before. He said, "It is the eyes of other people that ruin us. If all but myself were blind, I should want neither a fine house nor fine furniture." If everyone else were blind, I should want neither fine house or fine furniture. In other words, we do conform to some degree around us. We want to wear things that fit in with everyone else. We want to drive cars and trucks that fit in with kind of what everybody else is doing. We're interested in how people look at us. You know, we do want to blend because we don't want to stand out in a crowd. We want people staring at us. We all kind of go along with what's around us. He said, you know, so many things that we buy, we think, well, I need to buy this because it fits in. But Franklin said, just think of a world where everyone else is blind and you're the only one who can see. Would you be as concerned of the things that you have and how fancy it was or how expensive it was? Or you may not. Interesting way to think about that. But it really does get to the heart of the subject I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about something that's one of the most overlooked sins. It's a sin the Bible talks about a lot. It's a sin that's addressed, and we see the consequences of it. We see people committing this sin and the terrible consequences that come into their lives. But we tend not to talk about it. We tend to brush it aside, and it gets to what Franklin was talking about a moment ago, and that's just simple jealousy. The Irish novelist Samuel Beckett was awarded for his writing a lot. Very famous, and along with that came a lot of recognition and so forth. And he was at home one day, and his wife gets a phone call, and he's sitting off to the side, and she's on the phone, and he's just listening to her end of it. And she says, oh, okay, really? Finally, she says, what a catastrophe. And hangs up the phone. He's concerned. He looks at her and he says, well, honey, what happened? Well, what's the problem? She said, well, you won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Sorry, ruined your day. It's an example of jealousy. She was having a problem with him getting so much attention. She was having a problem with him getting so much fame and so much recognition, and she wasn't getting any. Nobody was paying much attention to her. Why is it that some people can't really rejoice when other people succeed? Why is that the case? Why do people hurt when they don't get what they want? In our world, we have really everything we need. I don't know that you'll meet anyone tomorrow that doesn't have everything they need to live life. They will have a house to live in or an apartment to live in, some place for shelter. They will eat three meals tomorrow and not think twice about whether or not they will have three meals to eat. It's just the only decision will be what to eat and where to eat it. They're all going to have some transportation to get from point A to point B. Everybody you meet tomorrow will have those things. But you're going to meet some poor people tomorrow. You're going to meet some very wealthy people tomorrow. But they will all have those things. So then I ask again, why does it hurt when there's something else out there that we want and we don't get it? Well, where does that pain come from? Why do we have pain about that? Why does it ruin our day? Why is it when somebody else has that thing, it bothers you? What difference does it make if somebody has something that you don't have? I mean, it almost seems silly to ask the question, well, why does that hurt? Because we're so used to it hurting. It's such a common thing for people to look at somebody else and talk about what they have and why we don't have it. How did they get that? They don't have enough money for that. You see a rich person, well, they must have cheated somebody to accumulate what they have. Well, they just got it because they inherited that. So we kind of downplay the things. Why are we so concerned with what others have? Why are we so concerned if somebody gets recognition for something, somebody wins an award, somebody gets noticed in some way? Why does that hurt? Well, it hurts because we're human beings. It hurts because we're fleshly. It hurts because the Bible says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It hurts because we're selfish. And we just want to think of ourselves so often before we think of someone else and what's good for someone else and being happy with what somebody else might have. This is one of the problems that Paul addressed in his letter to the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians. We talked about chapter 13 this afternoon and at the nursing home. But he said something interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he got to the heart of all their trouble. They had problems in the Corinthian church. One of the things was they were suing one another over petty issues, over, we would say today, frivolous lawsuits. Just silly things. They'd take somebody to court. Take a brother and sister in Christ to court over little things. And he addressed that issue. But before that, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, he said, "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not yet able." Verse 3, "For you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men?" He says, you have jealousy, you have strife. Today he might say, it doesn't seem like you are a Christian. It seems like you are just mere men. You are just a face in the crowd. You're among the masses who are not Christians. And of course, in the first century, there'd be a much, much smaller group of Christians, and the church being so new, the bigger mass of people who are lost. He said, why are you living like mere men? And he said, the way you define that is how much jealousy you have among yourselves and the anger that comes with it. And he said, now, he said, I can't teach you more things. I can't go to the next step with you. He said, you're just like infants. You're still immature. Jealousy is a very immature trait to have. You're just acting like mere men. You're acting like children. There is a great proverb, Proverbs 27, verse 4. Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? In other words, he says, you know, outbursts of anger are hard to deal with. Somebody's angry. Wrath is fierce. But what's worse than all that is trying to deal with somebody who's eaten up with jealousy. Because people never acknowledge that they're jealous, do they? There are some sins that people quickly say, yeah, that's me. You know, if you ask somebody, did you lie? Have you ever told a lie? A lot of people say, well, yeah, can't name them all, but yeah, I've lied before. We can list things. So people will do it as quickly as, oh, yeah, I've done that. I've been that way. Ask somebody, have you ever been jealous of somebody else? People usually get defensive about that. No, I don't care what somebody else has. I don't care what attention they get. No, I'm not that way. It's very interesting how hard it is for somebody to just simply say, yeah, I'm upset. I have stress in my life. I have anger in my life because I'm jealous. I wish I had more. Wish I had more attention. Wish I had more things. A man named John MacArthur said, there are basically two kinds of jealousy. One is superficial. The other is a deep down bedrock, rotten, stinking jealousy. William Shakespeare called jealousy the green disease. Solomon called it rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil mind gives life to the body, but jealousy rots the bones. The superficial type of jealousy, somebody says, is I want what you have, or I wish I had that. But that's not the deepest level. They said the deepest level is I wish he didn't have it. And you can see how that is another level down. That is a worse type of jealousy. One type is, well, I'd like to have that. It's okay that they have it. I just want it also. It's a bit more sinister. It's a bit more cruel, a bit more evil to say, I don't care if I have it or not. I just don't want them to have it. I don't want that person to enjoy something they have. If that's how you ever look at somebody, if that's the attitude you have, you got a real problem. That's a pretty deep problem. It's like the two shopkeepers across the street from one another who always tried to keep up with the business the other one was having. They looked to see how many cars were in the parking lot, looked to see how many people were going in and out of the store, the sale prices on the window, and they were just always back and forth. Didn't want the other one to have too much. And finally, one night, this angel comes to one of them and says, I'm going to give you anything you ask. But whatever you ask for, I'm going to give the other one twice as much. So if you ask for $10 million, you're going to have $10 million, but they're going to have $20 million. If you want to live a healthy life for, you know, the next 20 years, they're going to get 40 years. So you're going to have a great life. You're going to have a lot of things. But can you live with the fact that the guy across the street is going to have twice as much? So the question is, what do you want? The man thought for a minute. He said, I want you to strike me blind in one eye. That's the real deep level of jealousy. I don't want them to have it. I just don't want them to have anything. You open the Bible, and have you ever thought about or noticed how many instances of some of the more famous stories of sin in the Bible started with jealousy? You can make a really good case that the very first sin was the result of jealousy. Jealousy is about what somebody else has or the attention that they have, the position they have, more than just the thing that they have. Satan approaches Eve. And it says, you know, what did he say about eating this tree? And he's, you know, she said, we can eat from all of them except this one. And Satan says, no, he doesn't want you to eat of that, because if you eat of that, you'll be like him. He doesn't want that. That's what you'll get if you eat of this. What is that? That's Eve being tempted. It's Eve having jealousy. God has something I don't have, has a position I don't have. Wouldn't it be great to be on his level? Satan is offering me or convincing me that if I eat this, I can be on his level. That's why he don't want me to have it. Well, it got handed down because we know that Cain had the problem with Abel for this same reason. God favors Abel's sacrifice. Cain couldn't handle that. He got attention from God. He got noticed. And so Cain was so enraged, and God warned him. He said, sin's crouching at your door. You've got to push that down. You've got to put that away. Something terrible's going to happen if you let sin overtake you like this. And we know that he killed his brother. What about Joseph and his brothers? Joseph gets attention from his dad in a way that the brothers didn't get. And so they want to kill him. That was the first plan. Let's kill him. But we know the plan changed. They decided to sell him into slavery. It was jealousy. We keep reading, and even Leah and Rachel, Genesis 30, verse 1. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. What about Saul and David? David kills Goliath, and all of a sudden the people start chanting as he goes and gets more and more victories in life. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And from that point on, the rest of Saul's life, he tries to kill David. jealousy. David's getting attention that I should be getting. Those are famous stories in the Bible. And among other things going on, you find jealousy in each one of those stories. But it's interesting, though, that as we focus on what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 3, he says jealousy and strife. Interesting how often the jealousy and the anger go together, as it's mentioned in the Bible. Proverbs 6:34, for jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. 2 Corinthians 12:20, for I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there may be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. Works of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy. Another verse where they're right beside each other. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Romans 13:13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing, drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Put together again. Seems like jealousy makes people mad. Well, and if somebody becomes mad, well then who knows what comes after that. So if you go trace it back to the root often is just simple jealousy. I can't stand that somebody has something that I don't have. Journal of Family Violence did a study about domestic violence and what causes it, the root problems. They says the biggest problem a lot of times, and again, it's one of those chicken or the egg kind of discussions of causation and correlation, what causes the other, all those types of things you've heard discussed. But they did this study and came out and said two risk factors, anger control and jealousy, were hypothesized to moderate the relationship between intimate partner violence and a problem drinking in a sample of 453 community couples. Another report says jealousy presents an intractable problem for relationships. It is often a point of strife within relationships. It is often a frequent cause for breakups. It provides a convenient excuse for abusive partners. There is a persistent association of jealousy with violence. Well, the Journal of Family Violence just needed to open up the Bible and read it. They would have found the same results because the Bible always puts them together. The Bible, in its last commandment, says, don't covet what your neighbor has, his wife, his animals. Why would that be such an important sin to address, to be in the Ten Commandments? Well, the rest of the Bible explains it, because so many sins come after. If you are quick to be angry, it may be very much the fact that you just have not an anger issue as much as you have a jealousy issue, a jealousy problem. Anger may just simply be the symptom of the disease. So many passages that, of course, address being quick to anger. Psalm 37, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. Proverbs 19:19, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. Proverbs 30:33, for the churning of milk produces butter, so the churning of anger produces strife. James 1:20, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. It's probably one of the best verses that really gets to the heart of anger. James says there in chapter 1, he says, it doesn't produce good. Does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Listening, patience, humility, those things get you to where God wants you to be. Being quick-tempered, being angry, James says, it doesn't get you to where you need to be. What does it get you? What does it benefit you to be that way? James, of course, James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Question is jealousy really a part of your life? It's very easy to say no. It may not be a problem every day. It may not be something that is a persistent problem. It may not be anything that is a constant battle. But I think if we're being honest, at some point, there have been jealousy problems, jealousy issues in your life, and maybe if you're honest, you can also see what the consequences were. And I would say they were probably always negative, either for you or for someone else. It truly is, as the Bible says, rottenness to the bones. It is a disease that shows many symptoms. And Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if that is how you live and that is your life, you're walking like mere men. And you're living in a very immature state. We don't need to stay there because the Bible says we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You need help with that growth this evening. If you need prayers tonight for maturity, there's an issue related to jealousy or anger or any of these types of things, we'd love to pray with you tonight and try to help you in your walk with the Lord. If you need to become a Christian and give your life to Christ by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we would love to baptize you this evening. Not wait any longer for that. We'll take advantage of this day to be added to the Lord's church. Whatever your need is, please come while we stand and sing.